Welcome to North Star Church. At North Star, our desire is to lead people to follow Jesus Christ and not simply go to church, but to be the church. The following message is by Jeff Noble, lead pastor and teacher at our Blacksburg, Virginia campus. You can find more information about North Star, including recent podcasts, news, upcoming events, and so much more at northstarfamily.org. Thanks for listening, and we hope you enjoy today's message.
It's so good to see all of you, and the weather outside is just chilly enough that normally I hate these lights, but right now they are warm and it feels great up here. I don't know about your experience out there, but man, I feel rather toasty, so I'm glad I'm here. What a week it's been. One of my favorite memes that I saw this week was this huge wave that said 2020. And just behind it, it was a bigger wave that said 2021. And so I was like, yeah, that's what it feels like. I feel like we've been through a year in just 7 days. And no matter what your political persuasion is, you probably know from me, if you follow me on social media or anything like that, I love politics so very much. And I know that makes a ton of you groan. It makes a ton of you cringe. I love the art of the relationship, of negotiation, of seeking the best and bringing people to compromise and working things out behind the scenes. But this past week, I had an equal amount of disgust for everybody. I had so much disgust and dismay and disappointment. It was just like hot butter. I could have spread it so easy across an entire loaf of Wonder Bread. It was so disappointing. And so even as our nation went through this time of essentially a shift in direction and a shift in kingdom, so to speak, I've been looking so forward to being with you, both in person and online, so we can remind ourselves tonight that our kingdom has not shifted, that we are not citizens of this world, but we are citizens of heaven, that we belong to the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. And I didn't coordinate with the worship team, but how appropriate was it this evening that we sang, crown him, Lord of all. Because now more than ever, the churches need to practice reconciliation and healing for our nation. And so it is important tonight, as we jump back into our Philippians study, I'm so thankful that Matt stopped where he stopped last week and gave me this incredible softball of a passage tonight, because it really is a beautiful place for us to be, considering the cultural turmoil that we walked through this past week together. And so let's turn, if you will, to Philippians chapter 1, and we're going to begin in verse 19. Now, on the screens, you'll probably see verse 20, but I'm cheating, and I'm going to look back a little bit to verse 19. So pull out your devices and your Bibles, and let me read this with you this evening. In Philippians chapter 1, verse 19, Paul says, "Because I know this will lead to my salvation through your prayers and help from the Spirit of Jesus Christ." And then verse 20, "My eager expectation and hope is that I will not be ashamed about anything, but that now, as always, with all courage, Christ will be highly honored in my body, whether by life or by death. For to me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Now, if I live on in the flesh, this means fruitful work for me, and I don't know which one I should choose. I am torn between the two. I long to depart and be with Christ, which is far better, but to remain in the flesh is more necessary for your sake. Since I am persuaded of this, I know that I will remain and continue with all of you for your progress and joy in the faith, so that because of my coming to you again, your boasting in Christ Jesus may abound." So these are beautiful words of Paul, and I want to break it down. And for those of you who enjoy lists, this is really going to be attractive to you tonight, because at some point I've got five things I want you to be aware of. So if you have a pen, or if you want still one of the North Star pens that are on the chair, and I can put out the commercial, by the way, make sure you fill out your howdy card while you've got your pen in your hand. But you'll want these five things to be aware of as we march through the rest of this month together. I think the highlight, the apex of this verse, obviously, is when Paul finally gets to this thought in verse 21, where he says, "For me, to live is Christ." To live is Christ. Paul lays it right there on the line, and he basically defines, this is my life purpose. This is who I am. This brings meaning and direction, and it's the lens through which I see all events of this world is Jesus. To live is Christ. To die is gain. And I love these words because these words are also the summit of spiritual maturity. For a person to be able to say with Paul, to live is Christ, to die is gain, and to mean it from the bottom of your heart, from the depth of your soul, to be able to say, to live is all about Jesus. To die is gain. To live is Jesus. To die is gain. When we reach that point, we can grow and we can exalt and we can celebrate and we can stake our flag in that territory because we have arrived at spiritual maturity. We can say, when I have that attitude about life, that to live is Jesus, to die is gain, we can say that we have reached spiritual maturity. But once there, the journey actually begins. The adventure launches at that moment. It's like kicking down the last door and thinking that you've arrived, but you step through that door and it's just this vista of wonder that makes your jaw drop and you realize, I've been working and trying and surrendering and pursuing Jesus and I've gotten to this point to live as Christ, and you kick down that last door and you step in, it's just like, wow, I never dreamed that everything about life would change when my perspective is in its proper place. To live is Christ. When we reach the summit, all of life is now seen in service to, in submission to, in surrender to, and in satisfied joy with King Jesus. To live is Christ. He becomes your all. He becomes everything to you. Everything about life is filtered through your love relationship with Him. The dam of pent-up blessings breaks, and though storms may rage and mountains crack and cancer call, living becomes vibrantly real to you, because you are experiencing relieved wonder in a submitted relationship of love with Jesus Christ. He is so good, and His life is so true, and following Him makes your life real, real. To live is Christ, so much so that to die is gain. John 3:16 then becomes not just a statement about what God did, for God so loved the world that He sent His only Son, that whoever believes in Him will not perish but have everlasting life. But John 3:16 suddenly becomes a promise. When we say to live is Christ, John 3:16, we meditate on the reality that God sent Jesus for us. And it becomes something that we rejoice in daily, that Jesus was sent for me and for you. He loves us that much. And so in these verses here, there are five things that I think we should be aware of and that we should hold closely to us. So the first thing is this, awareness. Number one is awareness. If you look back at verse 19, Paul says this. He says, yes, and I will continue to rejoice because I know this will lead to my salvation through your prayers and help from the Spirit of Jesus Christ. Paul says, this will lead to my salvation through your prayers and help from the Holy Spirit. Paul is aware that on a Wednesday, he is making it through life and he's making it with the perspective of to live as Christ because he has people praying for him and because he has the Holy Spirit dwelling within him. And so it's this beautiful picture of the Church of Jesus Christ enabling every single individual Christian to make it through life in submission and love with Jesus because we are praying for one another. Paul says, I am eager for this. I'm aware of this. I know that through your prayers and help from the Holy Spirit. So one of the things I want to ask you tonight is who is praying for you? Who do you know that's praying for you daily? Now some of you would say, I don't know of a single person that's praying for me daily. Some of you may say, I think my grandma is, or I know my dad does. But here's the deal is, we need intentional prayers in our life. So here's my counsel and my homework for you tonight. I would like each person here and every person that's listening on the live stream this week to recruit three people who will promise to pray for you daily for 3 months. That's a big ask, isn't it? But here's the commitment that you're going to turn around and you're going to pray for them daily for 3 months. You're going to pray that they're going to grow in faith. You're going to pray that they will enjoy Jesus. You're going to pray that they'll come to the perspective that to live is Christ. You're going to ask them how you can be praying for them. Each week you'll check in. You'll keep this prayer relationship up. But I want you to know, with bedrock certainty, that there are three people in your life that are praying daily for you. I want you to ask in humility. If you're sitting there tonight and you're saying, this sounds great, Jeff, but I'm not going to do it, let me just call you out for where you are. You're being prideful. You're being prideful. If you think that you can exist and do this Christian life of discipleship on your own, in your own strength, just you and Jesus, you're completely wrong because that's why he created the church. We need one another, and it is important and essential for you to humble yourself before someone and ask them to pray for you daily. And you're thinking, yeah, but 3 months, Jeff, that's a big commitment. That's like 90 days. Whoopee, come on. We do a lot of things pretty consistently for 90 days that are important to us. I would assume that all of you have brushed your teeth today. Thank goodness those of you who haven't are wearing masks. But we do things daily, almost subconsciously, because we know it's important to be presentable. Well, perhaps it's time for us to be more intentional with our spiritual growth as well. And implement some dailiness to it. Because isn't that what Jesus said? That we should pick up our cross daily and follow him. So Paul is aware of people's prayers for him. And I'm asking you to find three people to pray for you daily. And then Paul is also aware of the Holy Spirit at work. He says, I'm aware of your prayers for me. I'm also aware of the help provided by the Holy Spirit that are leading me to salvation. If you've given your life by faith to Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit has come to live within you. Jesus told us in John 14, 15, and 16. In those three chapters, he describes the role of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Go home and read about the role of the Spirit. But the Holy Spirit works in our life to remind us, to inform us, to teach us, to encourage us, to strengthen us, to counsel us, to assure us that God is in us and with us. In 1 Corinthians 6:19, it tells us, "Don't you know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God?" We just came through Christmas where we said one of the names of Jesus in the Old Testament was Emmanuel, which is Hebrew for God with us. The Holy Spirit is a fulfillment of Emmanuel, God with us, God in us constantly, all the time. The Holy Spirit dwells within every believer in Jesus Christ. He will never leave you, and He will never forsake you. And so Paul says he is aware. So the very first thing that I would think we need to carry through is we need to be aware. We need to be aware of prayers, and then we need to be aware the Holy Spirit lives within us. God is with us. God is in us, and He loves us. Second thing that I think that we can pull from this is courage. It says in verse 20, "My eager expectation and hope is I will not be ashamed about anything, but that now as always, with all courage, Christ will be highly honored in my body, whether by life or by death." Paul is writing from a jail. He's writing back to the Christians at Philippi, and Paul is saying, "I eagerly expect and I hope that Christ will be highly honored in my body." And he says, with all courage. We're not always in a situation that we feel courageous. We're not always feeling like we can take on the world, but the Holy Spirit within us, the God's people praying for us, changes our perspective and makes even a prison cell a platform for powerful testimony. So Paul says that we need to take courage. Take courage to not be ashamed, for Christ to be honored. We all here have a past. Some of our pasts are like salivating stories. Some of our pasts are more like Dr. Seuss rhymes. But we all have a past. And for some of us, our pasts are hindering our testimonies. Because we think if people only know what I did, my testimony for Jesus wouldn't be very pretty. Some of you are saying tonight, if people only know what I'm doing, it would detract from the message of Jesus. Well, actually, it doesn't at all. It just proves that you are a flawed individual and that we are sinners by nature. There is no indictment of the power of Jesus because you sin. It is indictment of the power of sin in your life. And the reality is that we should be asking God for courage consistently. When Paul says, "I don't want to be ashamed about anything, but that now as always with all courage, Christ will be highly honored in my body, whether by life or death," I almost can hear him say something along the lines of, to himself, I can hear him saying, "Body, mind, spirit, don't let me down by letting him down." It's like Paul's talking to his thought life. Paul's talking to his hands and his eyes and his senses. And he's saying, "Body, thought life, actions, attitudes, don't let me down by letting him down." Paul is aware that he needs courage to face every single day because our world throws things at us every single day. We are tempted, we are dismayed, we are discouraged. Sometimes we're overjoyed, sometimes we're excited. We don't know what will happen on any given day, and we need courage through Christ. Third thing is conviction. Conviction. When you get down to verse 21, "For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain." Conviction. You ever heard the expression, "Oh man, that's just too convicting"? And then in legal terms, a conviction means that someone has been found guilty. But when we speak of conviction, it's important for Christians to have bedrock convictions, certainties, things that you base your life on, solid foundations. Verse 21 is such a conviction. For me, to live is Jesus. Now, Jeff Noble is a screw-up, and he is going to screw up. And I have screwed up. I am a flawed person. I know that. And the great thing is whether you are the best Christian that I know or you are not a Christian at all, we can all acknowledge before one another that as humans, we struggle through this life. But the beautiful thing for those of us who know Jesus is that we have been forgiven. Forgiveness happened on a cross, and our forgiveness is a past event. All of my sins were forgiven on that cross. You see, the cross happened 2,000 years ago, right? Let's just do a linear timeline just for a minute. Let's just remind ourselves of this. The cross happened back there, and doesn't Scripture teach that Jesus died for my sins? Yes or no? Did Jesus die for your sins? Yes or no? Was the cross past tense? Yes or no? Does Jesus need to die again today for the sins that you committed this afternoon? No. Your sins have been atoned for by the death of Jesus Christ. And when you decided to trust Him, you stepped into His righteousness and not your own. This amazing exchange took place where Jesus took your sin upon Himself and He gave you His righteousness. And so when the Father looks at you, He sees the righteousness of His Son. He sees the holiness of His Son. He sees the beauty of His Son. Do we confess our sin daily to Jesus? Of course we do. 1 John 1:9 says that if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. But you need to know that your forgiveness was accomplished on the cross, and right now when you confess sins, it enables you to walk in fellowship with Jesus. You have a relationship with Jesus by faith. You have fellowship with Jesus by keeping your confessions consistent. Conviction to live is Christ. Is that your conviction? That living is for Jesus. It is not for your 401k. It is not to find a spouse. It is not to raise Christian kids. It's not to be a grandparent. It's not to be anything. It's not to be successful. Is your conviction that to live is Christ? And some of you are sitting there going, Jeff, I just don't know. I'm not there yet. This is like black and white. I don't know if I can get myself there. And I hear you. I struggle with that as well. On any given day. You see, some of the times the things of this world are so good that we get distracted. And sometimes the things of this world are so bad that we get discouraged. And we try to take things into our own hands, or we think it's all about us, or that we've gotten ourselves to where we are, and we pat ourselves on the back or we kick ourselves in the butt. But let me just make you a promise that if you'll get up every day and you'll pray daily for other people, and you have people in your life praying daily for you that you're aware of, and that every day you're reminding yourself, when I gave my life to Jesus, He sent His Spirit to live within me. And His Spirit is going to transform me. We already preached on Philippians 1:6, which says, He who began a good work in you will be faithful to bring it to completion. Even though you may not feel like it, each and every moment, each and every day, God is doing a work in you and on you to bring you more and more and more and more into conformity with His Son. Some days you fully cooperate. Some days you fully resist. But you won't be able to resist the draw and the pull of a loving God for very long if you truly belong to Christ. He is at work, and your conviction must be that to live is Christ and to die is gain. We've been in the middle of a pandemic, and it's resurrected all sorts of frustrations and fears and reminders of our humanity and our mortality. But as Christians, do we understand that dying is gain? Do we grasp that? It is far better to be present with Jesus than it is to be present on this broken, sinful planet. Now, I'm not saying let's go out and let's like do CPR on someone with the coronavirus tonight. I'm not suggesting we run out in front of a bus to hasten our time, but the reality of it is do we as Christians get that we are in God's hands? Which brings us to our fourth thing. What is our purpose? What's our purpose? These verses identify our purpose. If we say to live is Christ, what is your living for? In Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, Jesus said these words to his disciples. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be provided for you. And so when he says, now if I live on in the flesh, in verse 22 of Philippians 1, if I live on in the flesh, this means fruitful work for me. And I don't know which one I should choose. I'm torn between the two. I long to depart and be with Christ, which is far better. But to remain in the flesh is more necessary for your sake. And since I'm persuaded of this, I know that I will remain and continue with all of you for your progress and joy in the faith. What was Paul living for when we know that really his heartbeat was to be with Jesus? Paul had experienced so much by this point in his life. Missionary journey number one, missionary journey number two, prisons, shipwrecks, beatings, controversies, stonings. He was just done. He was ready to be with Jesus. But Paul realized that if he was still walking the planet, it means that God wasn't finished with him yet. Do you realize the same thing tonight? If you're still here, and most of you look like you're here, I don't know who's watching, but I'm assuming you're still there. If you're still here, God is not done with you yet. God is not done with you yet. He has great purpose and intention for your life. See, Paul made this quick evaluation. Paul looked at things and he says, okay, it is better to depart and just be with Jesus. But then he looked at the churches that God had allowed him to plant. He looked at the people that he was in the process of discipling and the leaders that he was raising up. And Paul looked around and says, but it's better for you that I remain here and help you grow in Christ. And then Paul says, I'm confident of this. I'm persuaded of this, that I will remain and continue with all of you for your progress. And then I love this phrase, and your joy in the faith. Paul's just saying, I would much rather be with Jesus. But if I'm still breathing, it means that God still has a purpose for me, and that purpose means that I am here to help you grow in your faith in Christ Jesus. And I think we should have the same attitude. If you're still here tonight, it means that God intends for you to help someone else know and someone else grow in their faith with Christ Jesus. Every single one of you who is a Christian, if you're still here, your trajectory should be reaching the summit of, for me to live as Christ and to die as gain. And then you begin looking all of life that my purpose now, if I'm still here, is to help someone else know Jesus and to help someone else grow in Jesus. The good thing is that you don't have to number your days. God has already done that for you. In Job chapter 14, verse 5, Job has these three friends who's like telling him why he's suffering and all this kind of stuff. And then Job finally has this beautiful response to them. But in verse 5, Job says, "Since a person's days are determined and the number of his months depends on you, and since you have set limits that he cannot pass." Essentially, Job is saying God has numbered each and every one of our days. God knows when he's going to call you home tonight. God knows the numbers of your day. And yes, we should take care of ourselves. Yes, we should occasionally eat healthy food or Wendy's. And yes, we should be wary about where we put our feet, and we should be sensitive about our health and other people's health. But if you think that you can add 1 hour to your day by working out every day, you're not going to do it. If you think you can add 1 hour to your life because you eat healthy, you're not going to do it. Because the number of your days are not in your hands by your effort. The number of your days are in your hands through God's grace. In Matthew chapter 6, Jesus says, "Who of you through worrying can add an hour to your day?" Our days are numbered, and so if you're here, you have great purpose. And Paul saw that his purpose to live as Christ, to die as gain, and he had that evaluation. I would rather depart and be with Jesus, but it's better for you that I remain for your progress and your joy in the faith. What leads us to number 5, fifth observation, is humility. He says in verse 26, "So that because of my coming to you again, your boasting in Christ Jesus may abound." How do I get humility out of that? Here's what I love what Paul says. He's saying, man, I think God's going to allow me to come visit you people in Philippi again. I'm confident of that. I sense that. And he says, so by my coming to you again, but it's not so that you can boast in me, Paul. Saying, oh, Paul's back. Woo, Paul. Yay, Paul. He says that by my coming to you again, your boasting in Christ Jesus may abound. It's a beautiful picture of humility where Paul says to live as Christ, to die as gain. It is not about me. It is about making much of Jesus. You see, Paul came and he wanted to come back, and tell me about your shipwrecks. Tell me about your stonings. You know, here's Paul, the apostle, the famous missionary. And he says, no, it is not about me. I want to come to you again so that your boasting in Christ can abound. Our leaders in our churches, as we go forward in a nation that is bruised and battered, our spiritual leaders have got to consistently model humility. That is something that I pray for myself. It's something you should be praying for me and for our church staff and for our leadership board daily, that we will lead with humility. Because certainly what we have seen an absence of politically for a long time is humility. And we may not think that humility is strong enough to influence the world until we realize that Jesus was humble. When we get to Philippians chapter 2 and we learn that he humbled himself, making himself nothing, taking on the very form of a servant, even humbling himself to the point of death. Humility is essential for following Jesus and for influencing our world. So Paul prayed and he asked for their prayers. And tonight, as we wrap up, I would encourage you to do three things tonight. One of them is obviously to recruit prayers, to recruit people to pray for you. Don't be surprised if I see you this week or if I see you next Sunday night and I say, who's praying for you? And if you stammer around and stumble around, I'm just going to give you this Christian glare and make you feel uncomfortable. I mean, I'm going to do it. And can I ask that each of you would do this to each other? I don't want to be the only person holding each other accountable. Can I ask that we all become legalists for a while and just say, hey, this is important. We need to know that we are praying daily for others and that people are praying daily for us. We need to be aware of prayer and aware of the Spirit in our life. Second thing is pursue intentional growth this year. I'm asking each and every member of North Star, I know a lot of you here, and those of you who are watching on live stream may not be members, but I'm asking if you are a member of this church that you pursue intentional spiritual growth through a discipling relationship. Our small groups are foundational to that, but we also have a discipleship process that begins with a six-week emphasis called Discipleship Initiative. But if you've done that, we want to encourage you to continue in other methods of our discipleship. And then thirdly, will you embrace opportunity to influence this year? Will you embrace opportunity to influence? Will you quit being a chair sitter and an attender? And I'm asking those of you who are guests, and maybe some of you who are now regulars with us, it's time for you to jump in. It's time for you to unite. It's time for you to join. It's time to serve, to look for intentional ways that you can influence others, to help them know Jesus and to help them grow in Jesus.
We're so glad you found this message today. You can find more resources, including previous podcasts, at northstarfamily.org. Thanks again for listening, and we hope to see you next time at North Star Church.